It is not with formality that I ask for your prayers tonight. I feel desperate for the Holy Spirit of God. I know that we're towards the end of the meeting, but I hope you have a little bit of attention left. I feel like I have a message from the Lord that He wants me to give tonight. We live in a world that is full of change. Changing weather. Where I live, they say if you don't like the weather, just stick around for a few minutes and it'll change. The weather changes. Technology changes. Expectations change. Desires change. Fashions change. Opinions as to what is right and what is wrong changes. One once said that the only thing that doesn't change is change itself. But I want to impress upon you tonight that we serve a God that does not change with changing ideas or thought processes of the world. We serve an unchanging, uncompromising God, a God of His Word. That brings me an overwhelming security, and at the same time, it also brings me a deep-seated, righteous fear of God. Because while the Lord will keep His promises to us, to His people who give themselves wholly and completely to Him, He promises to uphold us. He promises to take care of us. He promises to see us through to victory. But the Scriptures also tell us that He'll turn His face from the unrighteous. And the Scriptures bear out that there will come a time when there will be righteous judgment that is judged. And we're going to be judged according to our deeds, not to my thought process, not to yours, but it's going to be according to the Word of God. Because the righteous judge is an unchanging, uncompromising God, and He is a God of His Word. I'd like to start this morning or this evening in Joshua, the 5th chapter. Joshua 5 and 13, we find that Joshua was getting ready to lead the children of Israel into a great battle at Jericho. They had just crossed the Jordan River into Canaan, and they were approaching a walled-in city, a city that appeared to be very secure. Men of valor. Men that were strong, men that had been victorious, no doubt, many times in the past. I'm talking about the people in Jericho. And it said in the 13th verse of the 5th chapter of Joshua, it said, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." We have Joshua approaching this great battle, and he came across a man that was standing there with a sword. I'd be interested in knowing what that sword looked like. The captain of the hosts of the Lord's sword. I'd like to see that. What an experience it must have been to come across a man like this. And Joshua said, "Who are you for? Do I need to be concerned about you? Or are you for our enemies? Or are you for us?" And he said, "Nay, I am of the captains of the host of the Lord. And Joshua did what probably many of us would have done. He fell on his face. And he said, Lord, what would thou sayest to me? And it strikes me what he told him next. He said, first you need to take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Before I can talk to you, before I can give you the words that I have to speak unto you, the thought that I want to leave with you tonight is, the captain of the Lord of hosts told Joshua, he said, unstrap, take off that you are standing on, that is part of you, that seems to fit you so well, that you walk around on, your views, your beliefs, your security, put it to the side for a moment. Take it off, put it to the side. And he had to do that before the captain of the Lord, of the hosts of the Lord, spoke to him. And when he obeyed, he received words that brought them great victory. If he would have said, well, no, these are my shoes, these are my sandals, I don't want to lose them. They're valuable to me. I've spent a lot of time finding these things. Go ahead and tell me what you have to say and I'll evaluate it. I think the story would have ended differently. But he obeyed the voice of the Lord. And he was willing to take off that was close to him, if you'll follow my analogy tonight. And he set it to the side. And the captain of the host of the Lord began to give him instruction on how to win a great victory against Jericho. And he told him, he said, he gave him very specific instructions. He said, I want you to go forward and I want you to take the priests and I want them to have horns. I believe that's what he called them, trumpets of ram's horns. And they'll bear the ark. And you take your warriors and you put them in front of the priests. And you take the reward, all of the people, you have them follow the priest. He told them exactly what to do. Exactly. And he said, I want you to go around the city each day for 7 days. And the first day that you go around, just go around at one time. And oh, by the way, don't make any noise. Only let the priests blow their horns. But don't you all make any noise. That was his instructions. They may not have understood the instructions completely. But it didn't matter. It was the instruction that the Lord gave Joshua. And he didn't have to understand everything, except that he knew that the instruction came from the Almighty God. And he told them, do it just like this. Go around it one time the first day, and do it a second day, and a third day, and a fourth day, and a fifth day, and a sixth day. And they did exactly what the Lord said. Thank the Lord. Good example for us. The first day they went to Jericho, and don't you know those people knew they were coming? They had heard about them. They were wondering what all was going to go on. And here they came. And they had all of their stuff and the people and the priests blowing their horns, and maybe they'd never seen anything like that before. And they were probably watching them. And they circled the city one time. And they're probably watching. Well, wondering what they're going to find. What do they think about our city? Are our walls as secure as we think they are? And all of a sudden they saw them go home. They might have thought, yeah, we thought we had a pretty good wall. They couldn't find anything wrong with it. They just went home. The second day, they did the same thing. Probably watching pretty close that day, too. And they went home. No one's making any noise but those trumpets blowing. I wonder if all of the people, the gathering hosts or the reward, the people that were following, the folks that were bearing their swords and their spears, I wonder if they were in agreement with what they were doing. I wonder if they started feeling a little bit funny in the face of all the other warriors that were looking at him from the city. Did you know that when we follow the word of the Lord, we're not always going to do things like everybody expects us to? And if we do, I can tell you that we will probably experience failure. But when we follow the word of the Lord, just like it's given to us, we'll find victory. They circled the city one day, 2 days. The seventh day came around. By this time, the folks in Jericho were probably thinking, what is up with these people? And the seventh day, after they got done going around it once, what do you think the people in Jericho thought when they started going around it a second time? Probably got their attention, didn't it? This is something different than what we've seen before. The people were still being quiet. They were following the word of the Lord verbatim. And the seventh time around, the instruction from the Lord was that after the seventh time, they all yell. And what happened? The walls came down. Just like the Lord said they would. A dependable, unchanging, uncompromising God. A God of His Word. He told them, if you follow my instructions, just like I've given them to you, you'll experience victory. And they had a great victory that day. The walls came down. They went in. And the Lord gave them a great victory. But He also gave them specific instructions once they got inside the walls, didn't He? He said, when you get inside, He said, don't you partake of any of the accursed thing of this people. It was a sinful people. It was not a people of God. It was a people that had not put God first. They were partaking of things that were unlike God. They weren't following God's command. They were following after their own lusts. They were following after their own desires, their own opinions, which no doubt changed over time. That's what they were following. And the Lord said, no, you're my people. You go in there and you destroy everything. You don't take anything for yourself, lest ye also become accursed. Did everybody obey once they got inside the city? There was a man named Achan. And they were in there battling and doing what the Lord told them to do. And he came upon something that was pleasing to his eyes. Appealed to his flesh. And it was available for him to partake of. Gold, silver, a Babylonian garment. Did you know many times we are going to be faced with decisions in life where there are things that appeal to us, appeal to our flesh, appeal to our desires that feel right. We could find some use in this thing. But the Lord said, leave it alone. The Lord said, don't go there. Don't partake of that's wrong, lest you also be accursed. Oh, saints, tonight, don't be tempted to begin to intermingle with the world around us. The Scripture tells us, come out, be ye separate. He said, you're a holy people, a royal nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Call out of darkness into this marvelous light. The Lord is a particular God. He's giving us instruction how to live according to His Word. And He expects us to follow it. Achan didn't follow it. He went in there and he saw what looked pleasing to him and he took it. And he took it back with him. And what did he do with it? He hid it under his tent. And the consequences of that began to manifest themselves. We find that they had another battle at Ai, a much smaller battle. Seemed like they should have been able to win it easily. Said, in fact, we'll just send 2,000 or 3,000 men, if I remember right, to that battle. And they sent 2,000 or 3,000 men, and the people of Ai chased them out of there, embarrassed them, and killed something like 36 of them in the process. The consequences of Ai's sin didn't just affect Achan, did it? It affected many. We do not live unto ourselves. He got back. Joshua knew something was bad wrong. They got defeated in a battle that they should have won. And in the 7th chapter of Joshua, in the 10th verse, it said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Oh, may we get a hold of this story. May we not let it apply to us in our life. May we understand the word of the Lord. I don't want the accursed thing of the world to affect me, my loved ones, my victory. The Lord said, "Joshua, you have someone that's taken of the accursed thing." Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. "Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you." And you know how the story goes. All of Achan and his family and all of his possessions were destroyed. It said in Joshua and all Israel, in the 24th verse, "took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and everything he had and did exactly with it what the Lord said to do in Jericho. And they took it all out there. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger." We don't live under the law anymore today. We may not observe many stonings here in America. I've never observed one. I hope I never have to. But I want to say tonight that there will come a time that God will execute judgment according to His Word and according to our deeds. There's a scripture in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in the 25th verse. He said, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done." And I thought also of the account of Uzzah. Who was Uzzah? You remember? Do you remember he was the one that was in the vicinity when the ark of the Lord was being moved on the cart? And the ark began to move on the cart. And Uzzah thought that it was going to fall off. And so what did he do? He reached out and he stabilized it. But what had God commanded aforetime? Pardon? He told him, only the priest can touch it. You're not supposed to touch it. And it said that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and it said that he smote him. It seems kind of severe in some respects, doesn't it? I've always felt kind of sorry for Uzzah. Always have felt a little sorry for him. But the truth that I want to leave with you tonight is that the Lord, our righteous God, cannot tolerate, He can't sanction, He can't dwell among a people that practices, observes deliberate or careless unrighteousness. And He has given us every opportunity to know how He wants us to live tonight. He's been faithful to us. Sometimes I think we can become so convinced that what we want to do is okay. We can have so many good reasons, can't we, to do what we want? Can't we find all the reasons in the world to do what satisfies our flesh? And sometimes we even find security because there are others that walk through the doors of the congregation that profess God just like we do. And they're doing it. And so we begin to think, well, they profess that they know the Lord and they can do these things, so it must be okay for me to do this. And I thought of the story of King Jeroboam. When the man of God went before King Jeroboam and he began to prophesy and began to express the words of the Lord. And King Jeroboam didn't like it and he raised his hand against him and it said that his hand withered up. And King Jeroboam then repented and he was sorry. And he asked him, well, help me out of this, help me out of this. And the man of God restored his hand by the help of the Lord. And King Jeroboam said, come to my house and refresh yourself and I'll give you a reward. And the man of God said, no, I can't do that. He said, because the Lord told me, don't eat anything. So I can't do that because the Lord told me that. I must follow what the Lord told me. Oh, but the story didn't end very well. The man went his way and another man came along. And he told him, he said, I'm a prophet of the Lord too. He said, the angel of the Lord spoke to me. And he said, it was okay for you to do these things. It's okay for you to come and eat. Oh, may God give us spiritual discernment. May the Lord fill us with His Spirit that we're able to discern between the voice of man and the voice of God. The man of God listened to him. No doubt he was hungry. If he wasn't hungry and it didn't mean anything to him, I think I would have said, no, I'll see you later. But it was consistent with what he wanted, you see. It was something that appealed to his flesh. And there are times in our lives where there are things that we're drawn to and that we want and that appeal to our flesh that the Lord has spoken to us before and said, stay away from this. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself separate. Don't give yourself to all the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There is so much out there vying for our attention. And the Lord gave us specific instruction. And He said, be separate. Don't partake of the accursed thing, lest thou also be accursed. Don't allow people to come among you and say, I'm a man of God too. And the Lord told me that it was okay. And it should be okay for you to do it too. And as human beings, we're so apt to glom onto that. Because it's what we want. Because it entices our flesh. It's attractive to us. And that's what happened with this man of God. And he gave in. He let his guard down, and it said a lion slew him in the way. And he lost his life because of it. Why? Because he was serving the same God we are. An unchanging, uncompromising God. A God of His Word. God said, don't do it. And he did it. Do you remember Saul? Sometimes we also think, I believe the enemy comes along, he gets us right where we're weak. And he says, you know, you could reach the world a whole lot better if you'd let your standard down just a little bit. If you'd compromise a little bit, you could do more work for the Lord. Doesn't the Lord want to save souls? Well, yeah. Well, don't you think He would be pleased for you to be able to reach out to more people? Well, yeah. Well, you know, if you'd let down a little in this area, if you'd go to a few more places that they go, be around them a little bit more. Yoke up with them a little bit more. Be able to relate to them a little bit more. Listen to what they listen to. Watch what they watch. Wear what they wear. Present yourself as another one of them. Well, you could reach a lot of people. The Lord does not want us to jump into the mud hole to explain to somebody else what it's like to be clean. That's not what He's asking us to do. He wants us to live an unspotted life, full of His Spirit. Yes, reach the world. Yes, be a friend to sinners. But do not partake of the accursed thing. Saul got into that problem himself. They went out to battle against the Amalekites. And the Lord said, don't partake of what they have. Destroy everything. Don't partake of it. Get rid of it. And he came back. And Samuel came up to him and said, did you do as the Lord commanded? And Saul said, well, yes, we sure did. We did just what the Lord commanded. And Saul said, well, what's the bleating of the sheep I hear? What's the noise back there? What was Saul's response? Oh, that. Yeah, that. Well, we took some of the best so that we could sacrifice to the Lord. We took of that so that we could offer sacrifices to our God and do what was good. But the Lord said, don't do it. The Lord's word to them was, don't do that. Don't partake of the accursed thing. Stay away from it. Don't become contaminated by it. The Lord was so good with the types and the shadows to help us understand in the old. I'm glad we live in the New Testament. We can look back and we can begin to get insight what the Lord wants from us that those folks didn't have. And the Lord has given us many stories and many accounts that we can look at and understand what the Lord is wanting from us. Be separate. Be holy. Be pure. May we be stirred to understand and follow the way of the Lord. He does not judge according to what we think is right. But He judges according to His Word. Paul said in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians in the 18th verse, he said, don't be deceived. And he wouldn't have said that if there wasn't a large possibility that many would be deceived. He said, don't be deceived. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is what? It's foolishness with God. We need God. We need His Spirit. Do you have His Spirit tonight? Does the Spirit of the Lord live and dwell in your life? Jeremiah, I believe in the 10th chapter, he said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And yet all around us we have people, we heard about it earlier, where someone talked about those that we hear a lot of, well, I think. Well, I think it ought to be okay to do this. Well, I don't see any reason why this is wrong. Well, I don't. Well, you know, we all have opinions, and I would venture a guess that everybody in here thinks pretty highly of their opinions. We all think pretty highly of them. But the Lord has asked us to take off our shoes and set them to the side when we come before His presence, that we may hear the word of the Lord. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Sometimes it's difficult to think that so many could be wrong when so many are doing it. Have you ever had that thought? Well, is this really the way the Lord wants us to go? Is it really so important that we live this close? Because look at all these people around us. How possibly can they all be lost? How possibly can they all be doing the wrong thing? It's happened before. The Lord destroyed the earth once. There was just a few people left with Noah. He took the whole city, almost, of Sodom and Gomorrah. May we be true to the Word of God in its simplicity and its truth. We read in Revelations where He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm where it starts and I'm where it's going to end. Oh, may we take heed to that. And he said that if anybody would add anything to it or take away from it, he said they would receive the penalty of death. I want to understand what the word of the Lord is. I want to know what he wants for me. I don't want to take chances in partaking of those things that are accursed in the sight of God, because I serve a God that is unchanging. He's uncompromising. And he's a God of his word. I want to leave you with some encouragement too. We serve the same God tonight that created Adam and Eve, that prepared the earth for our enjoyment, for our pleasure, and his glory. And the Lord, we serve the same God that gave his life for us that we might be saved. We serve the same God who promised us that he would deliver us from evil. It's the same God who David spoke of and said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Serve the same God. Though I fall, I shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's the God that we serve today. A God of mercy, a God of truth, a God that loves us. A God that said, the very hairs of your head are numbered, and I know you, I'll call you by name. It's the same God who said, I have a book of remembrance for all of those that spoke on my name. I'm taking notes. And there's going to be a day that book is going to be read. And the Lord is going to remember. He's a wonderful God. Which side do you want to be on tonight? Where do you stand tonight? I'd like to finish this evening in the third chapter of Revelation. And the 20th verse says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This evening let us be struck with the truth that we serve an unchanging, uncompromising God, and he is a God of his word. We can trust him. He'll be our helper if we'll let him. He's prepared the table before us. We're not going to get in because of our works. We can't earn our way in. He paid the price. But, oh saints, we have to come to the table to receive the mercy of the Lord. And many would like to sit wherever they want to sit and enjoy the benefits of what the Lord has at his table. We have to get up from where we are. We have to loose our sandals. We have to set aside our views. And we have to come to the table that the Lord has set. And there will be richness. We'll find victory. We'll have the way paid for us. If you're here tonight and you recognize that you've allowed yourself to stray in a manner that is inconsistent with the way that the Lord has outlined, perhaps we haven't been as careful as we should in observing, knowing, and understanding what the Word of the Lord is trying to say to us. Perhaps we've drowned out when He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Perhaps we have so much going in our ears that we don't even hear the knock at our heart's door. And we haven't given the Lord a chance to help us know what real truth is. We're still going to be held accountable for it. If you're here tonight in that condition, I have good news for you. We serve a God that wants to restore you. We serve a God who wants to fill you with His Spirit. We serve a God who wants to allow His blood to cover your sins that you might be saved. A God that wants to infill you with His Spirit that you'll understand and know what His way is. May we be challenged tonight that we make decisions in a way that we can stand before this unchanging, uncompromising God and be able to say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.